Elections Committee will come to order. Can we get, actually, we'll start as a subcommittee since we don't have a quorum here, and if that would please you, just invite Ms. Aguiar Curry up to present her bill, and then if folks come in, we'll take a pause and establish quorum. Thank you, Assemblymember. Welcome, and apologies again.
No problem. We understand. We understand.
That kind of day.
So thank you, Mr. Chair and members. AB 666 is inspired by the confusion that all of us who represent multiple counties experience when filing for every election. I'll start by explaining that AB 666 means to me six counties, six different candidate statement forms to fill out and submit, and six different ways to submit all of that paperwork. AB 666 would allow candidates running in multi-county districts to submit the candidate statement from their home county to all the other counties in the district. It would also require county elections officials to accept this form electronically. This bill is a step towards streamlining the overwhelming elections filing process for new and novice candidates who are unfamiliar with the complicated steps to qualify for the ballot in each county where they are running. I am working with the California Association of Clerks and Election Officials, Secretary of State, and my local elections officials to ensure that this process is collaborative. AB 666 passed unanimously with bipartisan support and no opposition in the Assembly Elections Committee and on the Assembly floor. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Assemblymember. Do we have any witnesses in support? And anyone here in opposition? All right, we'll take it back to the dais here.
When we get quorum, I'm happy to move it.
Okay, great. Seems like a pretty simple cleanup measure with very tight messaging around numbers on a very well-chosen date for the hearing, and I apologize that we weren't able to itemize it. Actually, our chief consultant just apologized for not giving you number six here. So, but we need to get this cleaned up in the code, and I have a dual county. It's not the same circumstance that you're under, but it's clunky and unnecessary
and time-consuming.
Yeah, that's right. And we'll save some administrative expense in the process. So.
Yeah, we absolutely will. And I really appreciate you understanding with you having two counties. Many members don't realize that I had to go to every single county, and there's a different fee for every single one. So it's about a $10,000 investment for six counties.
Right. So at the appropriate time, we'll leave that not on call, but what do we call this?
You can call it on call.
I'll entertain a motion at the appropriate time, but we'll leave it on call.
Great.
For the
Thank
moment.
You very Thank much. You.
All right. You just got sideswiped there, Assemblymember Lowe. File order dictating. No, not true. Not true. I stand corrected. Item number two.
Well, we gotta sign in.
Okay. All right. Sign in order, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, please take a seat. You have two items before us today.
And I will be very brief.
Okay, very good.
Assuming everyone supports them.
We're in good shape. but important legislation, so please, at your discretion, whichever one you want to present first.
I'll go with the easier one first, or the shorter one first, AB 2592. Mr. Chair and Senators, every 10 years, the United States Census Bureau conducts a survey of everyone living in the country. Census data is used to determine political representation, including how many seats each state has in the House of Representatives, and to distribute over $675 billion in federal funding to state and local governments for healthcare, education, and infrastructure. Unfortunately, many challenges threaten a complete and accurate count of Californians in the upcoming 2020 census. California is home to 10 of the nation's 50 hard-to-count counties, which are communities where the self-response rate to the census questionnaire has historically been low. Significant changes have been made to the 2020 census operations, including using a new, untested method of response, relying on existing data and satellite imagery to update address lists, and hiring 50% fewer field workers to visit households that have not responded to the census questionnaire. A question about citizenship was also added at the last minute and is widely expected to drive down response rates. Furthermore, the United States Census Bureau has had to cancel key preparations, including comprehensive tests of census operations in 2 out of 3 locations. As a result, the Federal Government Accountability Office has deemed the 2020 census an at-risk program. AB 2592 will help promote awareness about and participation in the 2020 census by requiring the Secretary of State to include information about an upcoming federal decennial census on the Secretary of State's website and in public election materials such as the State Voter Information Guide. I respectfully ask for your aye vote on AB 2592. And with me from the Secretary of State's office is Tiffany Mock.
Thank you, Senator Member. Ms. Mock.
Tiffany Mock, on behalf of the Secretary of State, we are proudly in support of this measure.
Very good. Others in support?
Madison Dwelly, on behalf of the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, in support.
Very good. Thank you. Seeing no others in support, any in opposition? Seeing none, members? Comments? Questions? Applauses? Seems like a common sense measure here. We've been trying to beef up the Secretary of State's capacity for sort of unifying communications for years now, unifying their mission. Last year added that sort of proactive enfranchising sort of mission so that beyond this current secretary, right, we're going to have that in the mission and the mandate for years to come. And I think the same alignment makes complete sense here, as it does to some extent in your the next bill. So when we have a quorum...
I was hoping that you'd call on me at some point.
Questions, comments?
I do.
Please.
I love the idea that you're helping the Trump administration collect census data. Would this just target those hideaway places, or would this... Walk me through exactly how this works and on how you target.
Sure. And so this... wouldn't be targeting. And it's important to note that any information that is collected by the Census Bureau can only be used for census purposes and by law cannot be used by any other administration agency for any government purpose. So it's very important for our public to understand that component of the census data. This just allows the Secretary of State to encourages the Secretary of State to mention that a census is upcoming and provide information about the census in elections material that they're promoting to every Californian, because it's important that every Californian participate.
That's the question. When I was going through it, I wasn't sure if it was going to every household or only hideaway households. Okay. I'm comfortable supporting it going to every household.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Great.
Yeah, I'm looking through the language here. I mean, in terms of the making reasonable efforts, it's just to eligible voters and to beginning of the year. I mean, there's no, promoting awareness, encouraging participation. There's no sort of confining statistic here. And in fact, rural communities, from my understanding, are part of that sort of broader outreach effort too. So this isn't just like, there's not even an urban-rural divide. It's not a targeting divide. So.
Yeah,
it seems like a clean approach.
Follow-up question, though. So I have the bill before me, and on page 3, it picks up on line 14. In undertaking this effort, the Secretary of State shall prioritize historical hard-to-count communities based on the response rate data from the United States Census Bureau. That's why when I read that, it led me to believe that you're targeting and you're not going out to everybody. So would there be a circumstance that you'd only send it to some households but not all households? Because I can't support something that just goes and targets. I don't want to turn this into a political gamesmanship. Sure. And I'm not suggesting the Secretary of State is that way. I've served with Alex in the Senate. He's an awesome guy. But we don't know who that next Secretary of State is.
Sure.
I think our understanding was to have it go to everyone to the extent that there were limited funds or there were some barrier to creating that, or it would only be feasible to send it to one county. We would then prioritize the county who geographically aligned with the lowest count community is how I think it was envisioned. But it really would be like the images that it would go
but
to.
But it doesn't say county, so you could go street by street prioritizing streets. And I'm not comfortable with that. To me, that's targeting that skews data. It doesn't.
I would first say that I'm very flattered that we would have the capacity to go street by street to find those households.
Yeah, if I may interject.
Of course you have that technology, PDI. PDI will give it to you. Absolutely you do. So that's ridiculous to say you don't have that technology.
So
it's very easy to get that technology.
So by historically hard to count communities, it's a quantifiable analysis based on past results. So it wouldn't be a political calculus. It would be in the past, in prior censuses, which communities haven't had a high response rate. And those are both rural, and as the chair noted, those are both rural communities and urban communities. They don't have any sort of political common denominator. Those are Republican conservative communities, liberal communities.
You're talking about doing it through the chair.
Let me just interject one point of fact that will actually help guide this debate. Just to clarify, the Secretary of State intends to disseminate this information through the ballot guide, the ballot pamphlet.
Yeah.
So that goes to every household. So just to be clear about the vehicle for this kind of communication, if you could just testify to that, because I think that might help alleviate some of these concerns, is the actual method of delivery is just supposed to be in that standard voter
information voter guide. So it would be the voter guide that would have an extra sentence or note. And that's the same one that goes to everyone. So we wouldn't be specifically printing separate ones for any group.
So would the author be willing to remove this sentence so that I can get to this? Because I can't support it with the sentence.
Understood. I am very happy to look at removing that and have that conversation before it gets to the floor if it gets out of committee. I don't want to say yes to that on the spot without getting a better understanding, but I fully understand where you're coming from and now have similar questions than you do.
And we do have, I believe, different ballots for different languages. So the idea of segmenting out, I mean, I know in the San Diego Registrar, I think there's 122 different languages that they support.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have 122 different versions. So the idea or the notion that it could be targeted and segregated out, we're already doing it. My issue is if the goal is to increase the turnout and to help the feds, then we should help across the board, not be trying to skew the numbers by targeting
mm-hmm.
only some.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting some further clarification here. That voter information guide is the same regardless of voter. It's just the language that it's in that differs. But I think it's been a helpful colloquy here mm-hmm. and appreciate looking into this in the commentary. So we'll just want to set this one aside for a sec and
sure.
we'll still try to get a quorum and entertain a motion at that time.
Great.
Thank you. So this is item,
375.
Yes. Got it. Please proceed, Assemblymember.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As you know, earlier this year, the committee held a joint informational hearing on the topic of election cybersecurity with the committee that I chair, the Assembly Elections and Redistricting Committee. One of the important takeaways from that hearing is that experts broadly agree that there is no evidence to suggest that voting machines or vote tallying in California were compromised during the 2016 election. And while that was a reassuring and important message for the communities and the public to hear, the federal, state, and county officials and other experts who testified at the hearing all agreed that we cannot be complacent because there's no reason to believe that the cyber threats to our elections are going away. In fact, the expert witnesses at the hearing emphasized the need for a continued commitment to identifying and responding to cyber threats. One of the recurring themes that emerged during the testimony at the informational hearing is that maximizing the cybersecurity of our state's elections will require additional resources dedicated to that purpose. That's especially important in smaller counties that have more limited resources in their elections offices and must rely on the assistance that is provided by federal and state officials and by other external sources. AB 3075 would create the Office of Election Cybersecurity within the Secretary of State's office. The office would coordinate efforts between federal, state, and local officials, including county registrars of voters, to reduce the likelihood and severity of cyber incidents that threaten the integrity of California elections. Given the ongoing and increasingly sophisticated threats posed to our election systems, AB 3075 is an important step to ensuring that state and county elections officials have the information and the tools necessary to defend our democracy from cyber attacks. To help fund the office, Chairman Stern and I both requested additional funding in the budget for cybersecurity efforts in the Secretary of State's office, and both the Assembly and Senate budgets included such funding. And Mr. Chairman, thanks to your leadership, the Senate's proposed budget also includes funding for the Secretary of State's office to monitor and counteract false or misleading information about elections. I fully support that effort, and I thank you for your efforts to secure that funding. To that point, Mr. Chairman, I understand that you are interested in adding some language to this bill to codify that role of the Secretary of State's office. That's something that I'm willing to consider, but I don't want to get out ahead of the budget process. So if it's agreeable, and it seems like it is, to the chair and to the members of the committee, I will commit to adding language to require the office to monitor and counteract false or misleading information about elections before this bill is taken up on the Senate floor if those activities are funded in the budget that is signed by the governor. And I'd be happy to work with the committee on the exact language of any such amendments. AB 3075 is supported by Secretary of State Alex Padilla, California Common Cause, and the League of Women Voters of California. It has no opposition, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote. And with me again is Tiffany Mock from the Secretary of State's office, as well maybe as Nicholas Heidorn from the California Common Cause.
Perhaps. Ms. Mock, you can handle it yourself, I'm sure.
We are proudly in support of the bill.
Thank you. Others in support?
Uzma Rahman with the League of Women Voters of California in support.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Rahman.
Mr. Chair, members, Nick Brokaw here on behalf of the California Association of Clerks and Election Officials in support.
Thank you, Mr. Brokaw.
Jack Blattner with California Common Cause in strong support.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any in opposition? Taking it back to the members. Questions, comments?
When we hit quorum, I'm happy to move the bill.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome news. This one makes all the sense in the world, and I'm so glad you took action after that committee hearing. You know, it's a complicated landscape out there, and we're still going to have to look back at yesterday and sort of assess what was leading up to it. We don't have any full information yet, but part of the challenge is the ability to gather that information and respond to it all. And I agree with you that the coordination has to come first, right? And so, you know, sort of making sure that at least all election officials in the state are on the same page and taking care of those sort of basics of getting this office up and running makes total sense. And I appreciate the sort of contingency here too, because I hope through these budget negotiations, folks realize that you want to have that sort of a reactive capacity to be able to coordinate if something happens. Mm-hmm. But how to actually go out and counteract and put that information out there to clarify things in the record, and also the volume of scanning going on out there, not the actual hacks, but just the activity on the web is a high volume exercise. Mm-hmm. And to expect the private sector to do that all on their own, I think, is impossible. So with that, I'm sure we can enter, we have a motion at the appropriate time, and all your other bills are on consent here, so.
We try.
I think your work before the committee is done.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks.
Mr. Lowe, welcome, Assembly Member. Hopefully I was prompt enough for you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you very much for allowing me to present Assembly Bill 1947, which would prohibit signature gatherers to be paid by the hour. This is still an opportunity for individuals and individuals to be paid by stipend, but we respectfully believe that this would help maintain the integrity of the electoral process and respectfully ask for our aye vote.
Thank you, sir. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Vice Chair. Megan Supers on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters, and we are in support of this bill. We've been in support of this effort and similar efforts in the past. I think it's important to note that California's initiative process was created for citizens to effect change when they felt like their elected officials were not doing so. And over the past 20 years, we've seen a move away from real grassroots efforts being able to make the ballot when someone with $1 million or $1 billion has a good idea they can just pay as much as it takes per signature, sometimes upwards of $7 per signature to collect the needed signatures to make the ballot. And usually before that became the practice, the lack of signatures signified no grassroots support for an effort, and an effort would fail to make the ballot. So we feel like banning the payment per signature or bounty signature as proposed by this bill would still allow for payment on an hourly basis or a stipend basis, like the author pointed out, but would really get us back to the intent of the initiative process in California, and for those reasons we're in support.
Thank you. Others in support? Oh, Mr. Wolf, I thought you were coming up in support. You surprised me. Any in opposition? Okay. We keep things intimate here in the Elections Committee. Nice and homey. Welcome, Mr. Wolf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. And Mr. Chairman, we do support bills, by the way, fairly routinely, actually.
Oh, so. I would never presume otherwise.
Absolutely. So, no, I just wanted to make that clear. We don't like to rain on everyone's parade. So, but we are going to rain on this one. Mr. Chairman, members, good afternoon. David Wolf with the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association in opposition to AB 1947. Members, listen, initiatives are expensive, okay? There's no doubt about that. It is time-consuming and expensive to qualify an initiative for the ballot. I think even we would like to move away from paid signature gathering. To a certain degree, I think that makes some degree of sense. But the issue is, to qualify a constitutional amendment, it still takes roughly 1 million signatures to qualify one for the ballot. And the best way to do that at this point is to use paid signature gatherers. If we want to back away from that, there's a couple of things we can do. We can either decrease the amount of signatures it takes to qualify a measure for the ballot, or we can increase the time period to go out and gather signatures for an initiative from 6 months to a year. If we did that, we would make it more of a grassroots process, because groups like ourselves would have time to go out and target grassroots and gather signatures in a more natural way, to where we wouldn't have to pay X number of dollars per signature. And, you know, I just think those should be the options that should be explored to deal with this problem, not a bill that bans paid signature gathering. So with that, ask for a no vote.
Thank you. Any others in opposition? Members, Mr. Vice Chair, comments, questions?
No, I think so.
Okay.
We raised it, we extended it from 150 to 180 years ago.
Oh, so yeah, I was trying to get some sense of the history here, but understood. We have done some extensions in the past. The only question I had for you, Assembly Member, just there's a similar vehicle moving from Mr. Newman. Differences between the two?
Prior to running back, we're trying to still work out some of those issues as your staff is aware.
Yeah.
We're trying to work out some of those nuances, and given where we are today, still trying to assess the legislative process given those.
Good. Let's just, I would just keep working with the committee,
yes,
if you don't mind, and and let's navigate this forward. Look, we've seen this system become something that I don't think the Constitution anticipated when it was that this option was established, and I don't think we've seen the market sort of keeping pace with the law. And the notion of a cottage industry being built around exploiting democratic processes, to me, is something that, even if it's not going to solve the entire problem here, because we probably won't solve all the manipulations out there, but it's our duty to go case by case and push the envelope and try to plug the holes where we can. We still have some gaping holes in U.S. constitutional jurisprudence around, you know, Citizens United, et cetera. But I think this is an important and necessary step. So I will take a pause at this moment, though, to establish a quorum, if you don't mind, Assembly Member. Would you mind calling the roll, Ms. Secretary?
Stern?
Here.
Stern here. Anderson?
Here.
Anderson here. Allen? Hertzberg? Leyva?
Here.
Leyva here.
Okay. With that, we have a quorum, and I would allow you, unless Senator Leyva, if you had a comment or a question, if you're okay. All right. I allow you to close at your discretion.
Thank you very much. Just again, anecdotally, I found myself at a Safeway in which there was a petition gather, and when they were talking about an issue, I challenged them and said, please explain this to me. And as this petition gatherer soon realized that this would be a longer discussion, they ceased conversation, simply just ceased and said, okay, I don't want to talk to you, and then went to the other bystanders to try and get their vote. Or to get their signature. And so it was very clear to me that they were just incentivized on the signature. And if they felt that you might have more time devoted to someone trying to get their signature, that they would then not want to waste their time with you, and they're being incentivized. And just to be clear, we can still allow for hourly or stipend, but not per signature in this bill. So we still want to maintain an opportunity for engagement, but with respect, ask for your support in this measure.
With that, would you, the motion is, I'm sorry, I thought we had a motion.
So moved.
Oh, so moved, motion from Senator Leyva. The motion is, do pass the Senate Appropriations. With that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Allen? Hertzberg? Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
Okay, we will leave that measure on call. Thank you, Assemblymember. Yeah, why don't we, if you're agreeable, Mr. Vice Chair, we'll go back through the consent calendar and then also lift the call on some of the measures preceding us. Very good, thank you. So first, I'm sorry.
You need a motion on item one?
Yeah, I would love to entertain a motion there.
So moved.
Okay, so that motion is do pass. Secretary, please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Allen? Hertzberg? Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
Okay, we'll leave that measure on call. Next, we need one more motion here for a measure we've left on call here. That would be two more. I'm sorry. Item number four, AB 2592.
So moved.
Motion from Senator Leyva. The motion is do pass to Senate Appropriations. Senators, this is item number four, AB 2592, Berman.
Berman.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson?
No.
Anderson, no. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
Okay, that's 4-1. That measure passes. Next, we'll take up item number six. Motion from Senator Hertzberg. Motion is due past the Senate Appropriations. Senator Anderson. Good catch.
But I wasn't going to complain. I saw his number.
Came from the right, but we share all sides here. So with that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
All right, that's 5-0. That measure is out. Next, item. You want to do the consent calendar? So the consent items today, members, are 5, 7, and 8. AB 2835, 3258, and 3259. Motion from the Vice Chair. Secretary, please call the roll.
Stern?
Aye.
Stern, aye. Anderson?
Aye.
Anderson, aye. Allen? consent.
You holding off consent?
Aye. Hertzberg? Aye. Hertzberg, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye.
Okay. All right, then the consent calendar's out. And lastly, what do we have left? We have to lift the call on item one, AB 666 by Aguiar Curry. The motion is due pass, 330, chair voting aye. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg? Hertzberg, aye.
5-0, that measure is out. Now we'll go to item number two. Motion is due pass and appropriations, 2-1, chair voting aye. Secretary, please call the roll.
Allen?
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hertzberg? Aye. Hertzberg, aye.
All right, 4-1, that measure is out. And are we done? We have any more? Very efficient. All right, with that, we've passed the items, and we are adjourned.
I think so.
All right.